happy Easter. And this is lesson 7 of our Easter series. And today we're going to be talking about Jesus' death on the cross from Mark chapter 15, verses 33 to 47. And our guest today is Mark Jesmer.
Hello. Hello, I'm very excited to be here today.
Yes, he is. And he's going to be our guest reader, and we're going to sing a hymn together. So let's begin. Lesson 7, Jesus died on the cross. The date today is April 7th, 2012. Today, me and Mark are going to sing Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. 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 Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
So Mark is about to do the reading, but let me ask a few questions, Mark. How old are you again?
11 and a half.
And what grade are you in?
6.
And Mark, what does Easter mean to you, in a nutshell?
The resurrection of Jesus.
Only the resurrection?
And the death.
That's right. So I'm going to get you to read about the death of Jesus. Can you read the passage, Mark 15, 33 to 47?
At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, Listen, he's calling Elijah. One man ran, filled a sponge with white vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, Surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching this from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed up and followed him, cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. As Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in the tomb cut out of a rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid.
Thank you, Mark. That was very wonderful. The title of this message is Jesus Died on the Cross. Mark chapter 15, verses 33 to 47. And the key verse is verse 34. Let's read verse 34 all together. Okay, verse 34. All right. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Dear Lord Jesus Christ, this is your Passion Week. Lord, I thank you for the cross that you bore so that we may be forgiven and live a new life. Where would I be without the forgiveness that you bring? Where would I be without the newness of life that you make possible? Where would I be without your hope? Lord, we love you because you first loved us. When we ask you how much do you love us, you stretch out your arms on the cross and say, this much. Lord, I can wake up and face each new day because of your love and your power manifest through the cross. May the whole world know your love and grace and mercy. May they see the glory of God through Jesus who suffered and died and rose again for us. Please grant me one word of God through this passage. I pray in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen. Part 1, Jesus' cry on the cross. Verses 33 to 34. At noon, the darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the day Jesus died, there was darkness at noon for 3 hours. Why is this? In nature, the most glorious thing in nature is the majesty and glory of the sun. Many pagan religions worship the sun. But there could be 2 reasons why the sun did not give its light. The first reason is that Jesus' suffering and death on the cross is full of the glory of God. It vividly reveals God's love and justice. It is the victory of God over evil and death. This death of the Son of God is so glorious that its glory outshines the sun. The second reason is that all nature could not bear to see the unjust treatment that Jesus had to bear. He is the sinless one, and yet he died a more painful death than even criminals. He was unjustly tried and crucified. The sun, not giving its light, reveals that all of creation could not bear to witness the injustice that was poured out on Jesus. So, take your pick. Which reason did the sun didn't shine? In his dying moments, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This fulfilled prophecy from Psalm 22:1. And also expressed the pain of carrying the sins of the world and feeling separated from his Father. The fact that Jesus felt the separation from the Father vividly shows us that Jesus was in fact carrying all of the sins of the world upon himself on that cross. The Holy God could not be in the presence of such immense sin as was being piled up on the sacrificial lamb, Jesus. And so for a moment, the Father turned his face away. This was agonizing to Jesus, but was part of his cross that he needed to bear. The statement that Jesus bore all of our sins in his body on the cross for our sakes is not just some philosophy or a nice Christian cliche. It is in fact displayed by Jesus crying on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The fact, it's a fact, revealed on the cross through Jesus crying out. There are several verses that bring out this life-giving truth. 1 Peter 2:24 reads, He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Isaiah 53:5 reads, But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We can trust that all of our sins have been forgiven when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and the gospel. I pray that the people of our nation and the students on our campuses may repent of their sins and come to Jesus on the cross and be forgiven of their sins. 2. A torn curtain, a centurion's confession. Look at verses 35 to 41. Some misunderstood that Jesus was calling out to Elijah. To them, the crucifixion was just some interesting spectacle, and they waited to see something interesting and supernatural to happen. Such people were only spectators and observers, not committing themselves to Jesus, nor understanding the immensity of what Jesus was accomplishing for them right before their eyes. How blind they were, how much grace they were forfeiting. Some offered him wine vinegar on the sponge. Maybe they felt a tinge of compassion on him as he suffered there hanging before heaven and earth. It would be an incredibly cold-hearted person to not have compassion on those enduring the pain of crucifixion, wouldn't it? With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. This was not a defeat. It was the finish line. Jesus had accomplished the first step of his mission on earth, to die as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He did it. Satan tried his best to make sure that this moment did not happen. He had bruised Jesus' heel. Look at Genesis 3:15 one day. But soon his head would be crushed in a spiritual sense when Jesus rose again. It is like Satan was put in a checkmate in a game of chess. Do you know that feeling? When you're in checkmate? In that moment you feel like you are helpless. The prisoners were being set free from Satan's dungeons. There was nothing Satan could do now to avoid the upcoming resurrection. Jesus' death is a victory, not a tragedy. The temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Up to that time, the most holy place was separated from the common people. Only the chief priests that was voted for that year could enter. If anyone else tried to do so, they might be killed. But now, through Jesus' death on the cross, we have been forgiven and have been made holy. Since we are made holy through faith in the blood of Jesus, we have a privilege to enter into the presence of the holy God.
Amen.
Okay, very good, Mark. Very encouraging. We can now come before the throne of God and pray and worship and dwell in His presence, receiving His life and grace and truth and wisdom. We can come before Him with all kinds of prayer requests, and He delights in our presence. That is why the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. It signifies access to God through Christ's atoning death. The resurrection, or the centurion there confessed, "Surely this man was the Son of God," in verse 39. He never saw a man die like Jesus did. All the others were cursing, crying, delirious, groaning. Jesus was in his right mind. He was full of love. He was in prayer. He was caring about his mother and his disciples from the cross. And he was actually praying for the forgiveness of those who were perpetrating such a crime on him. He lived as a man and died as a God. He is the Savior of the world, and this is revealed through His suffering and death, and later through His resurrection. We also learn that there is power in the crucified Christ to melt any heart. This centurion was the leader of 100 battle-hardened Roman soldiers. He had seen so much death and suffering. His heart was hard. But when he saw Jesus suffering and dying on the cross and praying for the likes of him to be forgiven, his heart was strangely moved. We might think that our own hearts are too hardened by the hardships of life and the deceitfulness of sin. But no way. Our hearts can be melted by the love of God. We think that some people can never be changed. But this is not true. If this centurion can be changed, then anyone can be changed. They just need to behold Jesus suffering and dying in their place. We need to help them to focus on the gospel. This is one reason Easter is so very important for all Christians, to share this message. Jesus' death opened the way to God for Gentiles like the centurion. Salvation is not just for the Jews. It is not just for a select group of people. Salvation is open for everyone who believes. John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Can you memorize that, Mark? Not yet?
Not yet.
Work on it. That's a good, important verse. Many women who cared for Jesus also witnessed His death. These women were so faithful. Many of the disciples were shaking in their boots. Some had abandoned Jesus. One betrayed, one denied, but the women were there. How lovely is their pure devotion to the Lord. I don't understand it, but women give their hearts to Jesus. They love Jesus so much. It is something about a woman's heart. May God raise up faithful and devoted women as these in our churches and across our land. Part 3, Jesus was buried, 42 to 47. Joseph of Arimathea boldly went to Pilate asking for Jesus' body, and it was given to him. It was not easy for him to do this. He was a prominent member of the Jewish ruling council. If he identified with Jesus, he would be criticized and ostracized. He would be rejected. But he did not care. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and so he stuck his neck out. He was willing to face persecution. He was willing to sacrifice his own tomb cut out of the rock. Today, that would cost a lot of money. Your own tomb cut out of the rock? I don't know. At least $10,000 for that kind of tomb. But God would use that for the setting for the resurrection. Are you willing to stand up and identify with Jesus and face persecution? Are you willing to offer up something of value for Jesus so that some great work of God can be accomplished through it? Two women also saw where he was buried. They would take note of it in their minds because they were making plans to go the next day or as soon as possible to anoint Jesus' body in the tomb. These women of faith just wouldn't quit. Their love for Jesus went on and on. They must have been forgiven of so much in order to have loved so much. I pray that my love for Jesus may grow to such immense proportions. Lord Jesus, you died on the cross to take our sins away upon yourself and gave us access to the Father's kingdom. You are worthy of eternal thanks and praise. We love you, Jesus. One word, Jesus' death opened the way to God. Praise the Lord.